The first thing I want to do is to welcome all of you and say how happy and appreciative I am that you have all decided to come and spend the week with us. It's really nice to see a lot of old friends and some people who I don't know very well, as we are going to be spending the next week together exploring these teachings of the Shobo Genzo. I would like to tell you a little story about my experience with the writings of Dogen. And I'm very glad that Sally is here tonight, because she participated in part of this. And that is, when I first came here, we only had one, there was only one book that we were allowed to read, and it was Selling Water by the River. And of course, Selling Water by the River had some of the first translations of Dogen that were ever seen in English. And I think that in my year, my first year or two, I must have read it, I have no idea how many times. You know, maybe 50, maybe 100, I'm not sure. And at the end of it, I had two observations. One is that I had read something incredibly important. And the second was, I had no idea what I had read. No idea. I knew that Reverend Master was a great teacher, and I trusted her implicitly, and the only teaching I had up to that point in my early year or two was reading the Shushogi, which is a jigsaw puzzle, a kind of a collage of pieces from the Shobo Genzo. But I never really had much time to, or I never really had the opportunity to study anything about Dogen in depth. Over the course of the next few years, the community here spent quite a bit of time not studying Dogen, but instead doing a lot of work in building this place and in studying other texts and other teachings in our tradition, which were more formative for monastic life and which spoke directly to a lot of the training we were engaged in, a lot of the problems we were having at that time. And in 1975, my mother had just died, and as a an encouragement, I think, and as a cure for grief, I was given the opportunity to run the Berkeley Priory, which in those days was down in Oakland. And I went down. I was replacing the priest who had founded it, and he was taking me around the temple and was showing me various things. And he said, "Oh, by the way, I've arranged Saturday to be our Dharma study day. And on Saturday, the congregation is going to be coming at 9 in the morning, and they're going to be receiving a three-hour class on the teachings of Dogen. Then there'll be a break for lunch, and in the afternoon, there'll be a three-hour class on the teachings of Keizan." And this monk, who is no longer in our order, but is a beloved person, was quite a talker. And I'd never given a Dharma talk at all. And he said, "You know, you're going to be giving it, and I've got 22 people coming. They've all paid for the class, and I've spent the money. So I said, okay. And that morning, after a rather fitful night, we sat down, staring at each other in wild surmise. And the young monk was began to break his baby teeth on the teachings of the great master. And I'm not sure how it all came across, but I suppose we all survived pretty well. I'm happy to say, however, that over the years, since that time, I have done quite a bit of study of the Shobo Genzo, both with Reverend Master and independently. And I also had the privilege and honor, I think, to audit an online course with the Graduate Theological Union this spring with a colleague, Tigan Layton, who is appointed and encouraged by the fact that Dogen is just as difficult for the experts as it is for the people who are studying him. But we had quite a wonderful class, and I'm very, very grateful to him for all of his kind assistance. He opened my eyes in a lot of ways, and I'm still reaping the benefits from that. I went out to the Fugen Hermitage in May, as it is a quiet place where I can focus and concentrate on what I'm going to talk to you about, to get a sense of how we were going to do this retreat. And I remember I was there in two shifts. One was from about May the 1st or May the 4th until Vesak, and then I went back out after Vesak. And although it was dawning on me when I was there the first time, the second time, the second or third night I was out there, I remember sitting at the desk with my forehead on the table, asking myself, why did I ever choose this? Because it's so difficult. And I didn't have a good reason. I didn't have a good answer. And that night, I struggled with myself that, well, maybe we should just cancel it and I should do something else. But my experience, my foolishness, and my acceptance of what is won out in the long run, and I feel that I was able to do something for you. And whether or not I have been successful in doing this something, we will find out over the course of the next week. I'm telling you this because I want you to understand that what we are going to be studying, what we are going to be reading, what I'm going to be trying to explain to you, and what you are going to be trying to understand is very difficult. And there are several reasons why it's difficult. First reason is because the person who wrote it was a religious visionary and a genius. And no one thinks like he does. No one. Completely unique. And it has taken many people, many years to be able to translate and to present to people like us the deep religious teaching and meaning of Master Dogen's works. And we have someone sitting here with us tonight who basically gave his life to do this. And we owe him a great debt of gratitude. Don't expect to understand everything. I have made some decisions in preparing this for you, and I have decided that we are going to take a thematic approach. Instead of taking a chapter and going through it. And I'd like to explain to you a little bit of what I do when I'm primarily working with the monks, although I have done some exploration of the teaching of Dogen for the congregation here. When I'm teaching the monks, we basically go through an entire text, paragraph by paragraph, sometimes line by line, to try to pull out what's there, everything that's there, because I have a sense that there's so much that I would like the monks to be able to experience the Buddha Dharma, the richness of the Buddha Dharma that's in these works. And also, I don't know if I'll, you know, be able to come back later in my life and clean the job up. So I want to do the very best I can with it. This time, instead, I decided to do a thematic approach based on some things that I had read, probably based on the course that I had taken. And also, I wanted to give you a sense and an understanding that Dogen in general, his writings in general, and the Shobo Genzo in particular, is a holistic work. And it's made up of these, of the version we are using, 96 Dharma discourses. And all of them reflect each other. There is one of the discourses in it, which you are, most of you who have read Dogen are familiar with, called the Genjo Koan. And I have referred to this in talking with someone recently as Dogen's Avatamsaka Sutra, because it not only reflects the whole of his teaching and writing, but also that understanding is reflected throughout the entire work itself. The thematic approach that I have taken is in your booklet. We're not going to start on it tonight. We're going to start fresh tomorrow. But you might want to look inside the title page and see what we are going to be examining. Dharma Discourse 1 is going to be on meditation, which is the core of Dogen's teaching. Second will be on body and mind. Third will be on Genjo. We will be looking at selections from the chapter, but on the idea of Genjo Koan, what it is. The fourth will be on Buddha nature, which is at the center of Dogen's teaching. This will be the most difficult for you to understand. And it will be the most difficult for me to explain to you. The fifth is on dreams, visions, and images, which we will explore. The sixth will be on words, sutras, and the universe. And the seventh, which is not a terribly profound title, is what can we learn from Dogen? Now, if you go, again, I'm not going to start tonight, but I'd like to explain the way I've done this so that you don't have to go through it again tomorrow. We can plow into it in the morning. Each one of the Dharma discourses, and this one goes from page 1 to page 4, is a series of quotes. And you'll see on page 1, in the first selection, that I've put in a quote. And at the bottom of the quote is this I think the technical word is wingding for it, this iconic expression, which is actually two flowers or two leaves put side by side. And then the chapter from the Shobogenzo that it comes from and the page. In when you see chapters like this, I want you to understand that this is from our translation of the Shobogenzo. And this will be important if you want to go back and look this up later. Obviously, we have copies of it up in the guest house if you want to be reading through them. Also, when you get back home, as I hope you all know, this is available online and downloadable from our website. We also have PDF versions. The page number on here refers to the page number in the text. So you have to go to page 682 in the text in order to find that quote. And you'll find it there. Same with on this, again, on this page, next one. This first one is from Zazengi. Second one is from Bendoa. Third is from Zammai, O Zammai. And in looking at this particular discourse, you're not going to see anything from anywhere else. And in fact, throughout these pages, the majority of these quotes that we're going to be looking at have been taken from the Shobogenzo, from our version. And I will be, when I read through them, I will always tell you where they're from, and I will always give you the page number, just so that you will know where to go, what to look for. And if you're ever listening to this, you'll be able to, you know, cue back into it. I'm going to be talking between the quotes and explaining what I believe Dogen is speaking about and what I think is important for us all to focus on and understand. So what you have here are simply the quotes that we're going to use, and the rest of the discourse is going to be from me. Now, if you would have a look on page 4, you will see at the bottom, there's Dharma Discourse 2, this is Body and Mind, first large paragraph. And the quote is taken from a book called Zen Master Dogen as Founding Patriarch. You will not be able to find that book up in the guest house. You probably won't be able to find that book, period, unless you go to a Buddhist library. There is a limited number of these books in print and circulating. If you ever find it, if you are looking for Dogen's writings, you consider yourself a lucky person. But I have included some sources which you wouldn't necessarily be able to find. And that is where you are going, and I will cite them in the text here, and you will be able to hear them, and I will explain them to you. And again, when you have quotations from the Shobogenzo, I'll just simply put the Shobogenzo chapter. The one after this is from Shinjin Gakudo. Next one is from Juki. Next one is from Bendoa. Next one is Shinjin Gakudo, Genjo Koan, etc., etc. Down to the bottom of page 7, where we go into the next Dharma discourse, and there's a quote here from Dogen Kigen, Mystical Realist. And again, I will be interspersing all this with commentary, but you will be able to look at this, and my purpose in presenting it to you in this way is for you to be able to see what he's saying. And this is the crucial thing. I want you to be able to have an experience with him. I'm going to be the tour guide, as it were. but I'm going to be like the person who points at Yosemite and says, ain't she beautiful? And I hope to do that with Dogen. I have tried to do a lot to not explain too much, and also a lot to not explain too little. Whether or not I have succeeded or not, we will find out in the evening discussions, when will be the time that I would like you to please bring all of your questions. But when we're going to be giving the talks in the morning, we're going to be sitting like this, and you'll have your copy in front of you, and we'll be talking just like this. And I think that it's going to be important, especially when you're studying Dogen, just to focus on his words and teaching and try to absorb what he's saying from the part of your mind that is in meditation and will be practicing, and you will understand the meaning of this tomorrow, non-thinking. And then as the day wears on and obvious questions arise, bring them to the Dharma discussion and we will talk about them to the best of our ability, because I will not present anything else. I want to encourage you to tell me what you're thinking, you know, comments, questions, observations, however you approach this. Those who are expert in reading Dogen say that it's probably not a good idea to sit down and read him cover to cover. I know one member of our congregation who got a copy of the Shobogenzo and took it out into the woods and sat down and read it cover to cover twice. And I thought, this is a remarkable young man. You know, I haven't done this, and I'm, you know, a monastic, and he's done it. But it is one thing to read the whole thing, and it's another thing to understand what it is that you've read, and to understand it not intellectually, but from the point of view of our religious practice. So I have given this book to you in bite-sized bits, and I will hopefully be able to present to you and give you some idea of how all the bits fit together, and then give you something to reflect upon in these bits, which will hopefully reflect the deep teaching and deep understanding that Dogen has. And I hope that some of the light of his wisdom will illuminate our exploration and discussions. I also want to tell you what I haven't done. What I haven't done is I haven't created any kind of long historical background. I didn't think I wanted to talk to you about the pessimistic attitudes of the ruling class of Kamakura Buddhism in the 1300s. I didn't think that many of you would be too interested in Yogacara idealism or some of the other components that make up part of a teaching of Dogen. I wanted to present this for religious people who are making the attempt to study his writings and his works and to penetrate his teaching and to allow his teaching to penetrate us as well, so that we can have a real experience of him and of his of his Dharma. And maybe if we do this right, although it sounds sort of anti-meditative, that we'll actually get excited. Because there were a couple of times when I was preparing this, when I, you know, was standing there, I work standing up when I'm doing this, and I was dancing a little jig up and down and thinking, this is so tremendous what he has to say. In the guest house, I have asked Reverend Alethea, who's the librarian, to put up there, I think we have about maybe 6 or 8 copies, 10. We have 10 copies of the Shobu Genzo translated by Kosen Nishiyama and John Stevens. And this, the introduction of Shobu Genzo presents a very short, you know, 10 pages, introduction to the Shobu Genzo itself and to the life of Dogen. And it is there for you to read if you would like to do it. You don't have to, and you won't need to know anything about that in order to come to the talks and practice and understand what Dogen is teaching. However, if you are interested in what kind of a text the Shobu Genzo is, and the course of Dogen's life, how he came to write something like this, it's a very nice introduction. It's simple, it's non-technical, and it's available. So it'll be there for the course of the retreat for you. Zen Master Dogen was a very prolific writer, and the Shobu Genzo represents only his Dharma discourses. And what I mean by this is that they only represent his written Dharma talks that he would sit down and work on and write and then deliver to his monks. And he wrote a lot of other things too. He's written a lot on monastic practice and monastic rules, which are very fascinating to monastics, but they might not be fascinating to anybody else. And we're not going to be talking about those during this particular retreat. Also, recently, there has been published a book called Dogen's Extensive Record, which is a compilation and a translation of his formal Dharma talks that he gave in Japan during the 13th century, which are just as difficult, if not more difficult, to understand than the Shobu Genzo. And the translation of his extensive record is about that thick. It's over 600 pages, and you have to be deeply dedicated to want to read it, and even more familiar with Dogen and his teachings in order to understand it. We have copies. I think there's probably 1 or 2 copies up in the guest house. And for those of you who are burning with a passion to read Dogen after you have consumed the Shobu Genzo, I recommend the extensive record. But if you do that, you will probably see me somewhat far behind you going through this just step by step. Because again, I think that there is so much here, and it is so deeply profound and at the same time difficult to really get in the way that it has been taught, that I like to go through things slowly and carefully. As I said, we are having a meditation retreat, And there's going to be a lot of meditating and training going on. The talks are but a small part of that retreat. And I hope that they will help all of you take a step closer to what he would call the great matter for which we train, and what brings you here to meditate and practice. Because he is, in the charming phrase of someone from my youth, he's really going to suck it to you. In the sense that his teaching really comes right into one's face. And there is a way which he has of teaching and reflecting his incredibly deep understanding that is really very challenging, very beautiful, and very provocative. And one of the interesting things that people experience in the first assault is, I don't understand this, and I have no idea. And you learn in studying both him and in practicing is that that doesn't matter. You know? And that what really matters is that you are willing to meditate and you are willing to practice, that you are willing to look into your mind and you're willing to transform. And he is certainly a great pilgrim of that endeavor. And I think we will find that when we come out at the end of the retreat, that he will have challenged us, coached us, encouraged us, and criticized us too, for all along the way, in such a way that we will get to know him a lot better. There was an interesting discussion that we had during the class. In the writings of Dogen, he is extremely critical, very critical. And this puts people off nowadays. Nowadays, people are not as critical in the religious field, although you do find them in many other places. And the Shobo Genzo is full of sayings like, "Even so, over the last couple of centuries or so in Great Sung China, certain mistaken smelly skin bags have said, there's no need for you to keep the sayings of the ancestral masters in mind. Much less is there any need for long study of scriptural teachings or for your trying to make use of them. Simply make your body and mind like a dead tree or cold ashes, like a broken wooden ladle or a bottomless tub." And I can assure you that the term smelly skin bags is a euphemism. So we had a discussion about this, and many people are very put off by this kind of language. And one person in the class was somewhat offended by what Dogen said and said, well, I wouldn't invite him to dinner. And I thought about it a lot because I'm a monastic and I teach this, and I recognize the criticism, and I also recognize the genius. And I finally came up with the idea that I would, in fact, invite him to dinner, and I would actually enjoy the dinner. I would also make sure I served him what he liked. Whether or not I will ever have that as an opportunity, I don't know, but we'll see. So that is my introduction to the retreat. we didn't plan anything tonight because we'd like you to all get some rest. And I know many of you traveled a long way and have taken time out of your busy lives to devote yourself to the retreat and have traveled far distances. And it's great to see you. And I'm so glad that you have all come. And as you know, the community is really delighted to see all of you too. And I look forward to the week and all it will bring for all of us. And I hope it will be as rewarding for you as it appeared it was going to be at those times when I was dancing a little jig around and around and thinking, oh, this is just so wonderful. And that also when you are sitting there thinking, I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about, to remember that the person who's leading the retreat, at least one evening, was lying there with his head in his hands thinking, why did I ever choose this to teach? But I think that through the compassion of the Buddhas and ancestors, we are going to enjoy ourselves and really come to appreciate in a deep and a real way how incredibly lucky and blessed and fortunate we are to have someone like this as our founder.